Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And now, race fans, here to say the most famous words in motorsports, please welcome global music superstar, Kane Brown.
Drivers!
Y'all ready?
Start your engines!
WWE superstar Sheamus on top of the flag stand. Green flag is in the air, and the second annual Ally 400 is underway.
Red flag was in the air, and that delay lasted 1 hour and 28 minutes.
Trouble turn two. One car is around and hard into the outside wall. It's Alex Bowman.
Trouble turn two. Couple of cars tangled midway between one and two. Chase Briscoe is up in into the outside wall. Ty Dillon as well.
We have lightning in the area. And NASCAR, no choice. 150 laps down, 150 laps still remain. Caution flag is out. Nine to go at Nashville. And that run to the checkered flag for Chase Elliott has been put on hold. Checkered flag at the start-finish line. Here comes Chase Elliott, his second win of 2022. Chase Elliott scores the win in the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway.
And there you go. That is how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network and also some track announcer introducing Kane Brown. Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe here with you as always, and it's presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Very excited about SRX coming to the fairgrounds on July 9th, so be sure to get your tickets for that. But what a weekend it was at Nashville Super Speedway. It wasn't Kyle Larson this time around, but it was Hendrick Motorsports. Chase Elliott gets the victory at the 1.33-mile concrete oval. And I will tell you this, it took all day with the different lightning delays and rain delays. The track got soaked at one point. I was sitting up in the PA booth with my partner Joe Williams just watching it rain and watching the lightning storm and walking around and talking to the MRN guys and talking to the NBC guys. And we didn't know if they were going to get this thing in, but once it looked like the radar was clearing up and they started drying the track, we all felt optimistic. We knew they had lights. I told NASCAR President Eric Moses, I said, I think you're going to be all right. We'll just turn the lights on and let them go. And they got all 300 laps in, all 400 miles in. It took a lot longer than anybody had hoped, but they still got it done. And so a very exciting weekend. Ryan Preece goes back-to-back and wins the Rackley Roofing 200 Truck Series race for the second year in a row. You had last week, you know, we had Justin Allgaier on the show, and he brought up how he felt like he let one get away at the Nashville Super Speedway in the Xfinity Series race. Well, he made up for that and then some on Saturday as he dominated the Tennessee Lottery 250 to get that win. And Junior Motorsports has been on a tear as of late in the Xfinity Series. And then Chase Elliott goes in on Sunday and wins it. And it was a race that had been dominated by Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, Martin Truex Jr. won the first two stages. And you had, obviously, Denny Hamlin was on the pole, who had dominated. Kyle Busch had led a bunch of laps. It looked like Joe Gibbs Racing was going to get the victory. But it was ultimately Chase Elliott. And Chase Elliott... only Elliott would lead 42 laps, whereas Hamlin led 114 laps. Martin Truex Jr. led 82. Kyle Busch led 54. And the pit strategy caught Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. because they ended up finishing 21st and 22nd, respectively. I thought that they were going to work their way back up through the field, and one of them was going to end up winning this thing. You know, Denny, it was the same thing. It just... as it got into night, Chase Elliott's car kind of came alive after starting fourth, and he was able to get it and ultimately win this race. Kurt Busch would be second. Ryan Blaney had a wild night, but ends up finishing third. Last year's winner, Kyle Larson, was fourth. Ross Chastain came home fifth. Then Denny Hamlin, Austin Cindric, Christopher Bell, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick rounded out the top 10. Bubba Wallace was another car that I watched throughout the day, and I was really disappointed for him because I thought that he was gonna be a factor in things because he had a really strong car and then had a loose wheel and had to come in and got mired back in the field, and then he kind of worked his way up and then pit strategy again, and so it was just a frustrating day for him. Did not get the finish that he deserved because he had a really, really good car. But it was Chase Elliott getting it done, and this is an interview with Marty Snyder from NBC.
Well, of a finish, Chase Elliott winds up winning. What were you thinking when that last caution came out?
I figured it was coming. I was hoping not, but Ryan gave me a great show. Appreciate him doing me a solid there and getting us out front. So just so proud of our team. We had kind of a setback there about halfway and was able to get our Napa Chevy dialed back in and get back in the mix. So it was a long day, fun day. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. And they're fired up. I love it. so proud of our team. And we've had a pretty rough month and a half. So just nice to get back going in the right direction. Getting a win's always huge. To do it in a really cool city like Nashville is even better. So looking forward to that guitar. Thank you guys for coming out. Y'all have a big time tonight.
Well, you first took the lead at lap 245. How did this car come to life after the rain delay?
Yeah, we were able to work on it there a little bit after our penalty and got it going a little better. So just stuck with it. Thanks to everybody at Hendrick Motorsports, too. You know, they've been working really hard over the winter and through the spring to try to keep up. Engines have been running great. Obviously great support from Chevrolet. So looking forward to getting home, seeing my family, say to mom and dad, and hopefully enjoy this week. These things are hard to come by, man. You have to enjoy them, and you never know when or if you'll ever get another one. So super thankful and looking forward to next week.
You know how to play a guitar?
Not really, but I'm willing to learn.
There you go.
Chase Elliott, the winner of the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway. One thing that I wanted to do is, because obviously Chase has been very outspoken about his love for the fairgrounds, and you know, I have been showing my support for having racing in this town, obviously support for the fairgrounds, obviously support for the Nashville Super Speedway. I truly believe there is a place for both tracks in this market. You'll see two different kinds of racing. I understand that the Super Speedway is about 45 minutes outside of town, but it's put on good shows. I mean, the Ally 400 this year was the best racing that I've ever seen at that place. And it has come a long way. You're seeing two grooves now. The resin on the track really helps. And so I think that there's a place for both. But I wanted to play a little bit of Chase's press conference from the Nashville Super Speedway, because he talks about winning there and what that means, and also explains why he's so supportive of the fairgrounds.
Chase, congratulations. How tough was it to maintain your focus during all those stops and starts and delays?
It wasn't too bad. I feel like we've had that a good bit over the last few years since they implemented the lightning thing. So I didn't think it was too difficult.
All right. Mike, go ahead with your question.
Chase, how special it is considering your closest to Nashville, your dad racing at the fairgrounds? Just how special is this for it to be a Nashville race?
Yeah, look, I wish we were at the fairgrounds, for the record, but I'm glad we're at least in the market, and this is a cool town. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to race. It's a town that I think embraces us. And we embrace the people that are here, and they stuck it out. I mean, heck, the crowd was still pretty good, I thought, for it to be, 11 o'clock at night or whatever, and having started this thing 6 or 7 hours ago. So yeah, I thought we had a good crowd. Appreciate everybody sticking around, and it is close to home for me. So it's hard to win anywhere, but when you win kind of close to home like that, it is pretty special.
And what about after last year's disappointing race?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing was we just struggled here last year, so to have a struggle, a race here a year ago, and then to be able to come back and be as competitive as we were in the second half of the race, I am the most proud of that piece of the puzzle. I think just to kind of reset and be able to reevaluate and get back going the right direction here.
Chase, I know you were talking relative to the fairgrounds a couple years ago, saying snooze fest here, but you've been through a couple of races here now. How do you feel like it has stacked up this track when it comes to that, and especially tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think the race was terrible tonight. You know, at least we could get up off the bottom and move around, which I thought was, you know, encouraging. And I was even more surprised that we still moved up after the sun went down. You know, I thought at that point it was going to be really one lane, and it really wasn't. You know, you could still be in at least a couple different lanes, and it was way more racy than I thought it was, or I thought it would be. That still doesn't mean I prefer this over the fairgrounds and what that could be. You know, I don't want people to, you know, get a sour taste about that. It's just, you know, that racetrack and the history of that racetrack and its location is just something that we're never going to replicate again. You know, I mean, for the most part, all these facilities that we have are, you know, 45 minutes to an hour outside whatever said market is we're trying to reach. You know, if it's Michigan or you know, here, or Atlanta's 30, 45 minutes south of the city, you know, like all these places we go, Homestead's an hour outside Miami, you know, so all these places that we go, you're drawing from an area that is 45 minutes to an hour away. With the fairgrounds, you'd be drawing from an area that's, what, 15 blocks away or so, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, on that, but it's a hell of a lot closer than it is here, and that's just not something that in today's society, you're never going to build a racetrack in a city like that again. So that's why I think as an industry, we need to take advantage of that. We don't need to let that place die. You know, I mean, I know they built that big soccer stadium right next door, but use that as positivity, because the infrastructure is now there to house all the people. You know, now they have ideas and ways to get people in and out. So it's too good of a place, too good of an opportunity for us to not be utilizing that. In my opinion, I think it'd be the best location and best event of the year if they could pull that off.
Was your fear at the time that since you were going to be racing here that you may not be racing there, when actually it is possible you might?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I still worry about that a little bit, you know, but it sounds like they're at least working on it. You know, unfortunately, I can't do a ton other than just voice my support for it, you know, and I understand all the different sides of the puzzle there, and I respect that, but you know, selfishly for us, I think it'd be a great event, and look, they're already racing there, you know, like folks seem to be doing just fine with the races that are going on, and you'd be talking about one big event a year there for us to come and be a part of it. So I think the positives outweigh the negatives, and I think there's a way to be respectful in doing so of the folks that live in the area and be able to, you know, do it in a positive light.
All right, we're going to go to Mark, and then we'll make our way back over here.
Mark Carroll, PRN, I've got two questions. First, Chase, is it enjoyable to win a race where you have some problems, you kind of go off the radar screen? The JGR cars led 250 of 300 laps. They were kind of going like, all right, one of us is going to snag this thing, and then you end up winning. Is it fun to win kind of off the radar?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fun to win regardless, I feel like. But, yeah, I was really proud. Look, proud of a couple things. One, proud of having the past month and a half, 2 months that we've had been horrendous. You know, I've crashed about 10 times, and, you know, we've had a lot of stuff happen to end up having bad finishes, and you never want that, especially when it's any time, whether it's in a string of races or not, you don't want that, period. So proud to be able to bounce back from a really rough stretch, and then proud to have struggled as bad as we did, as bad as we were at the beginning of the race, to be able to adjust on it, take advantage of the opportunities we had to try to fix it, and then to hit on it, and to be able to execute after we hit on it to finish the event strong is not an easy thing to do. So, you know, our team, I feel like they do a great job when everybody's pulling in the same direction and is executing and doing their jobs to the best of their ability. I feel like we're as good as anybody. And, you know, tonight I feel like they really showcased their talents, not just, you know, on pit road with our pit stops being really solid, but Alan and Tom making really good adjustments and just staying on top of everything. So it was a good team win.
Speaking of which, on as far as the points, you got stage points. You obviously get a big chunk for winning. You're now plus 30 over Chastain, 31 over Blaney, 47 over Kyle. How do you look at that gap with nine races to go?
Well, I mean, I feel like no gap is safe, right? I mean, we had a pretty big one there at one point, and you know, that can go away in a hurry. So, you know, look, you just have to keep bringing strong race cars to the racetrack. You have to keep putting yourself in position to win. When you're battling up front and you have shots to win, the points thing is going to take care of itself. You know, you might be faced, if you can achieve the first part of that, you might be faced with a situation here or there where you have to decide whether or not you want to get stage points or whether you want to try to go for the race win. And those things are, you know, that's just part of the world we live in now with stages, you know, but more so on road courses, I guess, than anything. But the best way to look at it is just try to be fighting for wins. And if we're doing that, I think the points thing will be, you know, it'll kind of take care of itself.
So that's a portion of Chase Elliott's press conference after his win at the Nashville Super Speedway. Again, I respect him. I think that he should give a little more credit to the Nashville Super Speedway and what they've done there. You know, I understand why he loves the fairgrounds. I love the fairgrounds. But as I said before, I think there's a place for both, and there's nothing wrong with having a race at both tracks. And so my hope is that that happens. I would love to see it, and I would love to see, you know, Chase continue to support both places as we move forward. We've got a big show planned. Ty Dillon in the On Deck Circle. He was here in Nashville. He'll be at Road America. We're going to talk to him. Connor Daly, IndyCar driver, and Simon Pagenaud, another IndyCar driver, are going to join us. And that is all next as you listen to Chasing Checkers presented by Nashville Fairground Speedway on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe with you as always, presented by the Nashville Fairground Speedway. And we say hello to somebody that was in Nashville this weekend at the Nashville Super Speedway for the Ally 400. Ty Dillon is on the line with us, the driver of the number 42. Ty, how's it going?
I'm doing well. I think we're all recovering from the heat and the race this weekend, and I'm doing well. I'm excited for the upcoming week in Road America.
Yeah, so I want to start with the heat, because one thing that, you know, you drivers were talking about in the early testing of the next-gen car was how hot it would get inside the race car, and we could see from some of the in-car cameras that had a thermometer in there, I mean, it was getting to be 120, 130 degrees, very, very hot inside the race car. So what were those conditions like for you on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the pre-race, kind of waiting in outside the car, full suit on and everything, was probably the worst part, I think, for me, is you're sitting outside in the sun. For whatever reason, getting strapped in, I know it's hotter in there. It just allows me to focus a little bit better. So that was one of the hottest pre-races I've ever had. I put some ice on my chest and was cooling myself down with some water the whole time, just trying to keep my heart rate down. You want to, you know, before these races, we average, 125, 130, and it peaks up to 180 sometimes, heart rate in these races for 3.5-4 hours. That's pretty much marathon level, exercise. So you try to keep that down as much. Heat does a lot to make your heart rate rise. So I was trying to do all I could to relax in that way. And that was, I think, the toughest part for me. But once the race got going, I felt pretty good. And then, you know, we had the storms kind of roll in and cool everything off, and it got a lot better from that point on.
Are you one of the drivers that, I feel like most of you wear them now, the cool shirts that we saw kind of come into fruition a few years ago?
I wear one. They're very thick, but they do have the water cooling that runs through them. They're really nice once they get working good. And with so many red flags, I kept changing shirts, and I think I went through 3 or 4 underwear changes, shirt and bottom, throughout all the changes, because you're sweating so much, it felt like you're wearing a weighted suit. So, trying to stay fresh as much as you can, but I'm sure I lost 8 to 10 pounds of just water weight and sweat throughout the night.
So I know Ty Dillon is with us. I know your race didn't go the way that you wanted it to, had a little bit of an issue there with the 14. What happened on that incident on the track?
Yeah, I think from what I've seen, I was obviously holding my line around the top and was working my way through the field. We started 29th, and I think I was up to 18th, 17th, and we were headed towards the top 10. We had a really fast Black Rifle Coffee Chevy, and I'd gotten around him on the outside, and he was racing pretty hard from the inside, and I guess he went all the way to the apron to try to block the one, and for whatever reason he believed that he could still make the corner underneath me if he entered it at the same rate at a bad angle. And all I saw at the last second was his red right front fender heading to my door, and really had no time to try to miss or save. And he pretty much wiped us out, you know, and I think he admitted it. But, you know, it doesn't really help after the fact when we're both, you know, both our days are ruined. So it was very frustrating. The second time he's kind of got me this year and wiped out one of our days. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys just got to kind of know, pick and choose when to pick their spots to be that aggressive. Certainly when you're only halfway to the halfway point is not the time. So, you know, a very frustrating night for us on a night that we were really excited about. You know, we were going to have a night and to start our second half of the season that we were really, really excited about. So, you know, those things happen, but it is very frustrating, and we'll just have to move on and keep the positive, which was the fact that we had some good speed in our Camaro, and, you know, we'll move on from there.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's your first year with Petty GMS Motorsports, which is a new team. You're back in the Cup Series full time after running a part-time schedule last year. So as you enter the second half of the season, do you feel like that the chemistry has built to where it needs to be? You're getting a better understanding of the next-gen car, and things are starting to come together?
Yeah, you know, I think you know, we're getting better and better. The last three races, we've had really good speed, and, you know, feel like if the results would have shown themselves, we'd probably finish in the top 15, which is right where we want to be at this point in the season. We just got to get kind of the luck going our way. We had a mechanical issue at St. Louis when we were running inside the top 15 that took us out of the finish we deserved there. And we had good speed at Sonoma. We just got on the wrong side of tires, and we're heading back to another top 15, top 10 finish there in Nashville, and we're crashed. So I'm excited about the speed that we're developing. It's a lot better than where we were at the beginning of the season when we were having good results but didn't have the speed. So it's flip-flopped a little bit for us, but we just got to get, you know, both things put together, the results and the speeds, and I think we'll be able to show people what we've got.
We're talking to Ty Dillon. So what did you think of the racing around the Nashville Super Speedway? I mean, I know historically it was kind of a one-line racetrack. It feels like there are multiple grooves now. We've seen some side-by-side, some three-wide racing around this place, and from my seat high atop the racetrack, I thought it was some pretty good racing.
Yeah, I thought it was too. You know, I think in the past there was a lot of struggling to pass around the speedway, and I think the things that they've done with the resin and these cars, it was, to me, I didn't have much issue passing, especially on restarts. It's very exciting. I know we had races three wide for a long time up front, and that's great. So I think it was a great race, and I think it was a great race weekend, and I know we're all looking forward to going back.
Yeah, how important is Nashville just as a market to NASCAR with now a race, a Cup Series weekend at the Nashville Super Speedway, and also the banquets held here?
Yeah, I think it's just you can feel it in the air at tracks where people are excited. You know, you got celebrities, you got a lot of fans showing up, and there's just a different type of energy. You go to some track and you don't feel that energy. It feels like just another race weekend, but it's been really exciting this year. I'd say 90% of the races, you feel that energy and excitement that people love this new car. They love the new tracks, and they love what's going on in our sport with the young drivers and everybody that's running good. So, you know, I think Nashville is so important. We have so many diehard NASCAR fans there. To be able to put a race kind of in the backyard of Nashville is a lot of fun. And when you put on a good show like that, it makes it even better.
I don't know if you have ever raced at the Nashville Fairgrounds, but obviously there's talk of that place getting fixed up and SMI being involved in it and potentially having another race in the Nashville market. What would you think about coming to the same market but going to two different tracks?
Yeah, I think I'm for it because it's two different racetracks. I think the more short tracks and kind of old school venues that we can go to is only good for the health and the roots of our sport. So I would love to be able to race at the fairgrounds. I know it's got so much historical presence and it's right in downtown. So, you know, that'd be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of the developments there with the racetrack. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to do that soon.
Ty Dillon with us as we enter the month of July, five races on the calendar. As we race to the playoffs, and it starts this weekend with Road America. which I think is a fun racetrack as NASCAR's tried to add more road courses to the schedule. But July 4th weekend at Road America, what are your thoughts on that facility?
It's a fun facility. You know, it's, road course racing is always a different take for us in NASCAR, and I enjoy the challenge of going left and right. I think it's very fun, and I think it's you know, adds a lot of juice to our schedule. And Wisconsin is a beautiful state, especially up there at Elkhart Lake. The facility is really fun. It's really feels like you're on a getaway camping trip, even when we're there racing. It's a really fun facility. It's a long racetrack, 4 miles long, so you got to have a lot of mental stability getting around there to make sure you hit all the corners the way you need to create a really fast lap. And I always enjoy racing there, and I'm really excited to go back. I get to run the Xfinity and Cup race this weekend, so it's going to be a fun weekend for me.
Yeah, and the versatility of the schedule coming up, I mean, this is where you really see it. You go to a road course, and then you have Atlanta that, you know, with the new pavement, kind of runs like a super speedway, and then New Hampshire, Pocono, and then the Indy road course. You guys are going to have some different tracks that you're going to have to prepare for.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's what makes our schedule so fun is each week it's something different. I think back in the day, or I shouldn't say back in the day, 4 or 5 years ago, it was similar track after one after another, and it's not fun for anyone really when you're doing the same thing over and over again. I don't think the fans enjoy it. I don't think the drivers and teams enjoy it as much, but I think NASCAR, Ben Kennedy, everybody over there have done a great job of diversifying our schedule. I think we still have room to grow in that, and I know they're pushing to do more things like the, you know, like the fairgrounds and the other racetracks. So it's fun to be changing what you're doing week in and week out.
Well, Ty, we appreciate the time, and best of luck at Road America and moving forward. Always good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Ty Dillon, driver of the number 42. For Petty GMS Motorsports, coming off Nashville and Road America this weekend. Coming up next, we'll shift gears. We're actually going to go to the IndyCar Series and talk to a couple of different drivers that are going to be at the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up in August. We'll start things out with Connor Daly. That is all next on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in Nashville, 92.1, The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe here with you as always. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, it is coming up August 5th through the 7th on the streets of Nashville. It's round 14 of 17 races for the IndyCar Series, the NTT IndyCar Series. And we say hello right now to Connor Daly. He is the driver of the number 20 Chevy for Ed Carpenter Racing. Connor, how you doing?
Great, man. Looking forward to Nashville, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun last year, and I know you. I think you finished 13th in that race, if I'm not mistaken. But it was obviously the first time that, you know, any of you guys had taken to the streets of Nashville. What did you learn from it, and what can you use this year?
Yeah, it was an interesting, definitely an interesting weekend, but it was awesome. I mean, overall, I think us as drivers, we loved the, you know, the excitement around the event, you know, the pre-event, you know, activities that were going on, all kinds of stuff in the streets of Nashville. I mean, there was just so much and so much hype around the event, which is what we love. It makes us, you know, makes our job, you know, even more fun when you're putting on a good show for a great crowd who loves it. So we, you know, and even last year, honestly, we were really close to getting on the podium. We were kind of in third until the strategy didn't quite work out for us. So we definitely go back there with a lot of momentum, and it's been a great year so far for us as well. So it's something that everyone has been looking forward to, and everyone's had marked on their calendar for sure.
Yeah, and I know this year you're running the full schedule for Ed Carpenter Racing. You were on a couple different teams last year. That has to make life easier for the driver to be able to work with, you know, the same team, same strategists, and be able to just build on momentum week to week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been, you know, it's a dream come true. Obviously, that's what the goal is, to be, you know, competing for one organization, one goal, you know, to try to be, you know, try to win a championship, win races. And it's definitely paid off. I mean, I think we've seen, as we've gone this year, just the consistency building, and you know we plan on continuing that all the way through to the end. So it's been a great opportunity to be with Ed Carpenter Racing and Bent Nile to have them involved in their first IndyCar season. And yeah, we just hope to keep growing and making this program even stronger.
I'm always curious. We're talking to Connor Daly. I'm always curious of you come to a city like Nashville and you're literally racing downtown. You know that Nashville has a lot to offer, a lot of fun. You're here to do a job, but how do you also allow yourself to have a little fun in a city that you don't get to go to a lot?
Well, honestly, it's really hard to ignore what's going on in Nashville. I mean, I love it there. Last year was really my first time, you know, spending a few days in the city, and I came back a couple weeks later after the race just for an off weekend. So, you know, when we race though, it's very different. You know, we're going to show up to the track, you know, do our job, practice, qualify, race. And I'm sure there'll be dinners planned every night, but realistically we can shut it down. And then Sunday night is really the night where we get out and celebrate the event and try to hit the streets of Nashville to see what they have to offer for us for sure.
So when you're getting ready for this race, and you know, you talked about running it last year and things, and I know they have tweaked the track a little bit, moving some stuff around, which you expect they're going to move restarts from the finish line in front of Nissan Stadium to the start line after the field crosses the bridge. So that, you know, that's a little bit of an adjustment. But do you get in a simulator? Do you just look at tape from last year? What are some ways that you can prepare?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that we try to do. The simulator is definitely being worked on. Obviously, when a track gets changed, it's hard to, you know, you can build a virtual, you know, a virtual version of what was changed, but you never really will know until you get there. So, you know, we had a simulator model of, you know, of the national track before we got there. And it was, you know, it ended up being quite a bit different when we were there in real life. So we'll just try to get as much information as possible and go through everything from last year, because, you know, still the majority of the track will be very, very similar. And I'm sure the surfaces will be very similar. And, you know, we'll kind of already have an idea of what we want to do, you know, going back there.
So Indy 500 for any NTT IndyCar Series driver is, you know, everybody wants to win that race. You finished sixth this year, led some laps as well. What was that race weekend like for you?
I mean, it was an awesome weekend. The Indy 500, there's nothing like it this year, you know, back to full strength. Was just fantastic to see again. And it really made it seem like, you know, there was an incredible amount of hype around the IndyCar Series once again, and that's what we love to be a part of. So, you know, having a shot to win that race, you know, 2 years in a row is really special. You know, last year we led a lot of laps as well, and, you know, it's just this year we were there. We were there in the fight the whole day long, and that's all you can ask for. You know, the everything has to be perfect for that event, though. It's the hardest race to win. And you know, we have one tiny issue at the you know, on the final pit stop with one of our wheel guns, and you know, we lose a little bit of track position. So it's one of those things that you look back on and you have to be proud of the day that we had. And we just got more and more experience running at the front. So when we, you know, hopefully get there again next year, we can give ourselves another shot at the win.
So have you forgiven Alexander Rossi and Sage Karam for their prank yet, or are you plotting some sort of revenge when they messed with your hot tub?
Well, Alex said it was now things are even, because I guess he, you know, he thinks that we put the, you know, took all of his tires off of his golf cart a couple years ago and put them on the roof of his motorhome. But I don't know. It seems like that was too long ago to remember. And everyone seems to be expecting some revenge out of me towards him, and it does feel like it might be justified. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
What was your initial reaction when you saw what had happened?
I actually was just very surprised. I don't know. I don't know how these little Orbeez things work. There were about over a million little essentially just little balls of water, rubber balls of water that had expanded in the hot tub. And yeah, there were over a million of them. So I had no idea what to do or what to really, how to react. But like, I got in the hot tub with those little Orbeez, and it was actually quite comfortable for a while. But then after that, it just became a little bit weird and gross. So it was an interesting experience.
Connor Daly is with us now. Next up for the NTT IndyCar Series will be Mid-Ohio, which I think is such a fun track. I really enjoy Mid-Ohio. July 3rd. What are you expecting going into that one?
Yeah, I mean, Mid-Ohio is a classic American road course. We love racing there. It's a great crowd there as well. And honestly, it's tough to say how we'll be able to do, because everyone is just so good. And you know, if we happen to get there and we can nail it, and we've been working a lot on the simulator at that track for our setup there. And so we hope to be able to improve from last year. But it's a great event. Always a lot of fuel strategy, and definitely worth watching for sure.
Well, for sure. Well, Connor, it's good to talk to you. Can't wait to see you guys coming up in August 5th through 7th, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix on the streets of Nashville. It's going to be a fantastic event again, and we'll see you then.
I appreciate that. We all can't wait to get there. So we appreciate the support.
That is Connor Daly, and again, he will be racing in the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, which is coming up August 5th through the 7th on the streets of Nashville. We are your home here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game in Nashville as well. Coming up next, we'll talk to a former Indy 500 champion. Simon Pagenaud will join us coming up on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway on 102.5, 106.3 The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.
We're back on Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. And the Ally 400 for NASCAR is in the books. The next big event for Nashville when it comes to racing is the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, which will be on the streets of Nashville August 5th through the 7th. And one of the competitors is on the line with us, Simon Pagenaud, who drives the number 60 Auto Nation Sirius XM Honda for Mayer Schenck Racing. Simon, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited about Nashville. I just watched the NASCAR race last weekend, and that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it was. Exciting racing out there, and I will assume that you've raced the Nashville Super Speedway before. I know IndyCar used to back in the day, but...
I have not.
Oh, you have not?
I think it would be a great place to go back to, actually.
You guys were fast around that place. A lot of speed around that oval. But I love that you guys are on the streets of Nashville like you were last year. And I know that your race, you had some contact, didn't go exactly the way you wanted to, but you mentioned you're excited to come to Nashville. How excited are you to tackle the streets of Nashville for the second year in a row?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. First of all, I really enjoyed the track layout. I know it was a bit of an interesting race. We had a lot of red flags and issues with competition just being crazy, but I really enjoyed the driving side of things. The track was, you really had to push it, really push the limits to create lap time. And it's a very satisfying racetrack to drive on, just how it feels. So I'm excited about it. We've been really, really strong on all the street course racing this year. So hopefully we come back to Nashville and maybe get our first win as a team.
So what has it been like for you, your first year with Mayer Schenck Racing? You spent so many years at Team Penske. Now you're reunited with Elio Castroneves, who also spent a lot of time at Team Penske. So how has it been going for you with that transition?
Well, it's been super interesting because it's a much younger team with a lot less experience. And Elio and myself are very involved with all the development of the team on many different aspects, not just the driving side of things. So it's a bit of a different job than we had at Team Penske because, at Team Penske, they have so much more experience. They know the process, they know what to do, and they really just need the drivers to drive and do the best they can in that department. At Mayer Schenck Racing, you're more than just a driver, and that's at this stage of my career, that's really what the challenge was for me. And I'm really enjoying what we're doing and the potential that we have. It's our first year together, and it's showing really well. So I'm very excited for the future, and every race is getting stronger and stronger. So I look forward to the future with them.
Simon Pagenaud is on the line with us. Did knowing that you were going to be working with Elio, did that help things along, because you knew what he was about? He'd won the Indy 500 with him last year, and you know that what a talented race car driver he is, but also he has that business mind and knows how a team works.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, one of the biggest things is your teammates, who you're going to work with. Is it going to work? You know, is that combination of drivers going to elevate the team? That was my biggest question. When it came out and it was Elio, it made me feel very confident about my choice and the fact that we could work really well together. We've been great friends for a long time, and our personality matched really well. So that's really helping the team because there's no ego there. And that's really awesome. It's also always good to have, you know, a talent like Elio, somebody that is so great with the partners on the team. It doesn't hurt that he's won Indy 4 times, I tell you that.
Yeah, no, not at all. And you know, for you, you're in your 13th season in the NTT IndyCar Series. You've won a championship. You've won the Indy 500. I'm always curious with veterans when they get to, you know, later on in their career, what keeps you motivated? Because you have checked all the boxes that any IndyCar driver would want to check when they start racing.
Yeah, you're right. And absolutely. And this is what keeps me going. It's this new team. It's being with these people. It's the challenge of, you know, trying to elevate a younger team to the top level of the sport. It's more than just driving. It's also, you know, trying to show my quality as a technical, on the technical side, but also on the management side. You know, it's something that I personally, as a driver, I've always been interested in. So it's now allowing me to you know, get into a new dimension of my job. And that's really enjoyable. We've also, you know, managed to win Daytona in our first race with my Shank Racing in January, the Daytona 24 Hours. So that's another box that was checked. And, you know, hopefully we can keep going and get more trophies under our belt. That would be awesome.
How fun was that, running the 24 Hours? That's always kind of the unofficial kickoff to racing season.
Yeah, you know, it's in January, and the drivers come from all places. You know, there's a lot of European drivers coming to win this race because it's such a classic. And also all the IndyCar drivers are trying to do it, try and check that box, because it's one of the biggest races in the world. I've been chasing it for a while, and this year was such an uplifting moment to get the Rolex and get that win. I was so happy, and obviously, you know, you do it in your first race with your new team. That's also something very special. So I tell you, it's been a great year. Just a lot of new things, but very exciting.
Simon Pagenaud is with us. So tell us more about your Jack Russell Terrier, Norman, because I hear he has his own social media accounts.
I tell you, he's a celebrity. you know, I wonder sometimes if he's even more famous than I am at the racetrack. I meet people, and instead of asking me how the car is, people ask me how Norman is. So it's quite interesting that my pop has never said a word, but he's maybe more famous than I am. He's awesome. You know, 6 years old Norman is, and he's a little Jack Russell. He's got a very strong personality. He just loves going to the races. He loves it because, you know, he loves discovering new places. You know, sometimes we take the skateboard and go right around the tracks, and he loves that. So he's going to get to meet Ohio this weekend, and can't wait for that.
So how has he been sharing the spotlight with your son? I know you have a young son. Was that a bit of a transition?
That is a great question. It has been an interesting transition. I don't know if you have kids or dogs, but I tell you, you know, at the beginning, Norman was not a big fan of Marley. But they're becoming best friends because Marley, my son, understood that throwing the food down would help his relationship with Norman. So these two are becoming best friends. It's all amazing to see how that works. And Norman's keeping him honest, and because of that, Norman is Marley's favorite person, so that's quite interesting to see that development.
That's so awesome. We're talking to Simon Pagenaud, and as you mentioned, Mid-Ohio coming up this weekend. Fun racetrack. I really enjoy any type of racing from there, whether it's IndyCar or, you know, NASCAR's run their Xfinity Series there a few times. But how excited are you to head to Mid-Ohio?
I'm excited because we had a season. We had a weekend off, and it's time to get back racing. You know, it's the excitement's there. This is a good racetrack. It's a fun racetrack for us. It basically is our home race because My Shank Racing is in Pataskala, Ohio, which is about an hour from the track. And obviously, it's also a Honda sponsored track. So we have a lot of expectation to do well. It's a very, very competitive racetrack. We're usually in qualifying, you know, first to last and within the second, 1 second. So it's very, very tight, and you really have to be on your game. So I'm rested, I'm ready, and I can't wait to be there.
Well, best of luck this weekend, and we look forward to seeing you in August 5th through the 7th for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, the second year of that event. Simon, great catching up with you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Always enjoy talking to Simon Pagenaud. A lot of personality there, and I think he's going to be somebody to watch in the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up August 5th through the 7th on the streets of Nashville. And, you know, Nashville has shown that it is a racing city with what's happened at the Nashville Super Speedway, two great years of the Ally 400 and that entire weekend. July 9th at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, you're going to have SRX, which if you've watched the first 2 weeks of SRX, I mean, it's been exciting. Lots of action. You had Ernie Francis and Tony Stewart, Uncle Tony, getting a little angry about some things, and Tony ends up winning, but it's been exciting. So that's coming to the Fairgrounds. And then, of course, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix in August. And I can't wait to continue to cover all of it and to bring it all to you. That is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. If you miss anything, just subscribe on the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers, and we'll do it again next week. Thank you to the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, and for all of you for listening as well on 102.5, 106.3 The Game in Nashville, and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.